Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. I am Kevin Acey in San Francisco, where the Padres begin a four-game series against the Giants today to start a seven-game road trip, Giants and Diamondbacks. Jay Posner back in San Diego, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Jay, let's talk about last night's game, 6-4, 10-inning loss to the Dodgers, and that is because, not so much that it matters to either team, though it gets the Dodgers one step closer to a seventh straight division title, but it was illustrative in so many ways of something we've been talking about a lot this season, and I just think that it all came together in a game sort of that is a perfect time for us to sort of talk about something, and we may end up raising more questions than we bring answers, but Jay?
Yeah, there's always a good chance of that. I do think we need to start, you almost need to start the night before, right? Because
yes.
Cal Quantrill, who's been fantastic since the All-Star break, was having trouble against the Dodgers, as many teams have done. And I'm sure there were people wondering. In fact, I was sitting with one of them, a Dodger fan who hasn't watched the Padres much. But he said, you know, are they just going to leave him out there all night? And I said, well, they might have to because they have a bullpen game tomorrow. And so I'm sure that the last thing they want to do is go to the bullpen this early. And so I'm sure, and you wrote about this, and you could probably explain it better, how Andy Green answered the question after the game. I think I'm assuming you were the one who asked him, you know, did Cal just have to wear it out
yes.
there?
I did, and I knew that he was going to balk at that, though I will tell you, he balked at it less than I thought. All he said was, I wouldn't put it that way, but yes, that's correct. And then they ended up having to use, because Cal couldn't get out of that inning, they ended up having to use Robbie Erlund for three innings. That means Robbie Erlund's not available. That means Nick Margavichus gets called up. You know, what I'm assuming is for one day, as we tape this on Thursday morning, my understanding is that Nick Margavichus will be the guy that goes down back to AA to pitch in the playoffs for the Sod Poodles when Nick Martini, the outfielder that they acquired off waivers from the A's yesterday, is put on the 25-man roster. But Margavichus had to come up because he had to be available to pitch. And the thought was, if the game got out of hand on Thursday, he ended up pitching, after Kirby Yates in the 6-4 loss. But that was it. They had this bullpen game.
He was the guy that was going to come in if they got shelled right off the bat,
right,
or if the game went extra innings. I mean, he was the guy that was sort of waiting in the wings
to pitch later on.
But he was not the guy that they really wanted to pitch.
He or Robbie Erlund, because your point, the one you wanted to start off with, Quantrill, it affects the day before and potentially, likely, the day after, at least, when you have these bullpen games. So it affects how and since they have been coming, especially in the second half, although it has been all season, but they, you know, moving Matt Strom to the bullpen, these bullpen games have been coming more frequently. They affect how Andy Green manages, half the games.
Yeah, I would think that's the case. And it kind of brings us to what you were getting at the very beginning, which is what we wanted to talk about and bring up, is what are the Padres trying to do over these last 32 games? And it just seems like there's a lot of kind of mixed messages, and I sort of get it, and I don't think a lot of fans get it based on what I see, at least on social media, which is just a nonstop fire Andy Green, he's an idiot, blah blah blah. But the problem is, are they trying to win games right now? Is that the priority, or are they trying to find stuff out about certain players for next year? And the example I use is Luis Urias has struggled a bit at shortstop. He made an amazing play last night to backhand the ball with two outs in the 10th. And then he made an amazingly bad throw right after he got up. And basically the winning run scored. The last run scored because baseball umpires are atrocious and Kirby Yates had a guy struck out and et cetera. But anyway, that's irrelevant. The point is, Urias is a second baseman, right? I mean, if his future in Major League Baseball is at second base. And they have a Gold Glove shortstop on the roster in Manny Machado. So if they were really trying to win games here, this is just my theory, and you can shoot me down at any time, but Urias would play second, Machado would play short, and then I guess Ty France and maybe a little bit of Greg Garcia would play third base. But what they seem to be doing is they've said they wanted to take a look at Ty France at second base. So Urias has played short. Machado's played third, where he's also a Gold Glove player. And then at second base, I thought we were going to see Ty France, except more often than not now, we see Greg Garcia. And not that Greg Garcia hasn't earned the right to play, but we kind of know what Greg Garcia is at this point, right? I mean, he's a very good utility guy, very good against right-handers, not a very good defensive player. The idea, I thought, and we talked about this a week or two ago when Tatis got hurt, was let's see what Ty France can do at second base. But we're not seeing Ty France a lot at second base. So are they trying to win? Are they trying to find out about Ty France? Or are they basically kind of caught in the middle where they're not really sure what they're doing and they're trying to straddle this line where some nights it feels like they're trying to win and some nights it feels like they aren't? And I don't mean they're not trying to win. You know what I'm saying. That it's, yes. You know, the priority is not necessarily do everything possible to win a game on a particular night. So I don't know. Where am I off base on this? Where can you help
podcast
me on this?
Over. That's it.
Okay,
done.
Back to work.
No, Jay, as you said, we mentioned it a few weeks ago when the injury to Fernando Tatis first happened, and we have Ron Fowler, we have AJ Preller, freshly having said that you know they can win with young players, and I said if they're trying to win, Ty France is at third base, Manny Machado's at short, Luis Urias is at second.
Right,
but if they want to see what Ty France can do, then okay, that's what they said they were going to do. You bring up then the problem is, well, wait a minute. Especially against right-handed pitchers, all three games in this series against tough right-handers against the Dodgers, Greg Garcia is starting at second. It is absolutely contradictory. It is somewhat understandable. The straddling the fence that you said, Jay, is a really good way to put it, because it's like, you know, at this point, I, as an observer of the team throughout and someone who had a very, you know, who was absolutely thrilled to be even writing the words wild card in July, even if I knew in my head, look, this isn't going to happen. Hey, they're there and I'm reporting the facts. I love that. But I knew the big picture. I would be fine with them essentially throwing in the towel and saying, look, Ty France is going to start there. All right. That's just what's going to happen and doing this. But you're right. Then there's these things they do that say, well, you know, they're making the best player play. Now, that is to some extent the fence they do have to straddle, because they have to show players that you are rewarded. And Greg Garcia, and I'm not saying players are running this, but you got to understand, Greg Garcia is hugely popular with two very important guys in that clubhouse.
And I'm sure that's the case. I don't doubt you for a second, and that's fine. But does he have to be playing, I think it's like five out of the last seven games or something like
that? You're 100%
that.
Right.
And then the other issue, you know, if they were really trying to win, which of course is part of the idea of playing Garcia, as he gives you a better chance to win at this point, at least it seems that way, especially against right-handers, then what are you doing with the pitching? Because
that's
the other thing. You have all these, you know, you have these bullpen games, which, and look, the last couple bullpen games haven't really gone that badly. I mean, last night they had one bad inning. They couldn't throw a strike, and then Perdomo just, you know, inexplicably and almost, you know, unforgivably, you know, gives up a hit to Maeda, which ends up being, you know, one of the big hits in the ball game. But otherwise, these last couple bullpen games, they haven't really been losing because the bullpen is pitched poorly. So you can almost understand that. But it just seems to be sort of a mixed message type of situation.
Why are they still going with the pitching? Is because they set that course at the beginning of the year. It was one of the reasons that no matter what you wanted to do to buy into what they were, you know, what was happening on the field when they were around 500, above 500, if we go back far enough, it wasn't going to last because of this, whatever you want to call it, six-man rotation that isn't really a six-man rotation, a six-spot
right,
rotation.
Right.
So
and
six-spot they're committed
rotation
to it.
Filled with nothing but young pitchers, which I know a lot of people don't want to hear, but the fact is these guys are all still in their first and second year. And Cal Quantrill, as good as he's looked for whatever it was, six or seven starts after the break, you know, he's due to have a game where he's going to get hit. I mean, that happens to pitchers, and it obviously happened to him the other night. I mean, Paddock hasn't been all that great lately. You know, Lucchesi and Lauer have their moments where they're good. They have their moments where they're not. I mean, I think we kind of know sort of where they are.
Jay, you brought up one more thing about last night's game that, you know, let's go ahead and just stick up for Andy, or at least point out what Andy Green is dealing with. And it speaks to our main theme here. And but it was something you brought up on Twitter, and it was exactly, I mean, like, I'm like, well, you know, of course, Jay, because he's just so brilliant and he notices these things. But certainly no one else or very few other people noticed this. You know, Austin Allen was optioned yesterday to make room for Nick Margavich's. That's a left-handed bat. It's a bat off the bench. A situation in the game yesterday, Kolarik, is that his name? The left-handed reliever comes in to face, and Greg Garcia is due up. Set the situation for us and what Andy was dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, they had a rally going, and I don't have the exact particulars in front of me, but it was a chance to basically go, I think at the time, weren't they down a run? And here was a chance to, it seemed like you were going to, this was the time where Dave Roberts went to the lefty to face Garcia, which you would want to do. And my immediate thought was, okay, Ty France is going to pinch hit here. And he didn't. And then I started thinking, well, why isn't he pinch hitting here? And then I realized it was only the seventh inning. And he was thinking, and whether this was the right move or not, I'm sure some people probably have a problem with it. I understood why he did it. As it turned out, it worked out later, because what I think he was looking at was, in the ninth inning, I'm going to have the pitcher spot coming up. I think the pitcher spot was sixth in the order by that point. I'm going to have the pitcher spot coming up, and then I'm going to have Austin Hedges coming up. And the choice was basically, do I want Austin Hedges to hit off Kenley Jansen in the ninth, or do I want Greg Garcia to hit off Adam Kolarik in the seventh? That's I think that's what it came down to, and I think he decided to take his chances with Garcia, and then it didn't work out. But in the ninth, here came that spot in the order, and they were able to hit for Hedges with France at that point. And I don't know what would have happened. I mean, France struck out, but with two strikes, he had two strikes on him and a runner on third, and Jansen threw the wild pitch. So
that's what we talk about, though. The result doesn't matter. Like, there's so much argument for the move that Andy Green made. Okay, right. We can argue about it, but there is so much in his favor, and that's what that manager is thinking about in the sixth inning, or was it the seventh?
It was the seventh inning. He was thinking about the ninth inning, and exactly. Of course you can make the other argument. Okay, go for the win in the send up Ty France here.
Not against the Dodgers,
right? But I'm just saying. Here's the other argument: is you can send up Ty France. Maybe he gets a hit. Chances are he's not going to get a hit. I mean, the odds are obviously against Ty France getting a hit in that situation. But as it turned out, you know, they ended up tying the game on a wild pitch, but the result was almost irrelevant. But that was one of those things where I'm always trying to think along with the manager. And I think, you know, look, you and I aren't the only ones doing that. There are a lot of smart fans out there who are doing the same thing. I think there are also a lot of sort of reactionary people who are just like, oh, that's a terrible move. You know, how could you pinch
right, left matchup, absolutely.
How could you do that? But I think there's so much more to think about. And I'm not saying that every time this happens that I or you even know what they're thinking. Nope. And I think that's why we have you there and Jeff Sanders there, is to ask the questions after the game. And it was like with the Quantrill situation the other night. You know, Quantrill probably should have come out a couple batters sooner, but there was a reason for it, and you know, thankfully you're not the only reporter there, but there are people who can ask the questions and hopefully give people an understanding about why this is happening at a particular time. And look, if you agree with it, don't agree with it, that's, you know, that's up to you, but there is a lot that goes into all these decisions, and I think a lot of times you and I aren't aware of it either. At least until after the game, when you can ask about it.
Think about this. I have a great awareness of all the times we don't know. Let's say that situation, let's say the Dodgers had gone up, you know, by 15 runs. Not inconceivable.
right.
And the situation in the ninth never came up. Well, that doesn't mean Andy Green was wrong about the seventh.
Correct. Correct.
He had to be thinking that way. I have great respect for your ability to do this. AJ Cassavell of MLB.com, a great respect. He's a strategist. Mm-hmm. And there's times that the two of you are stumped by something Andy did or weren't aware. That's just because we're not the guys with eight analytics guys, and we're not Andy Green down there living it, nine innings a day, 12 hours a day, and aware of all the injuries and everything. But I think the overall point as we wrap this up is, like, the whatever happened last night, Andy Green had a short bench, and he has quite a bit because they've had to, on occasion, stock their bullpen because of their situation with their starting rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the original point you were trying to make when you said Austin Allen got sent down, was it left them a bat short on the bench. And so in that situation, they weren't able – if they had had a regular four-man bench in that situation, I would bet anything that Ty France would have hit in the seventh inning against Kolarik, and then they would have, because then they would have had two more guys, Mejia and another bat, let's say Austin Allen. Those guys would have been available to pinch hit, down the road. But last night they were a bat short, and that was the way that they chose to approach it. And I thought, it made perfect sense. And look, they were it ended up where they were in the game, and you could see why. You could see why it happened. But again,
so here's a point I want to make to wrap it up, Jay, unless you have a point afterward to wrap it up. But the point I have to make to wrap it up is this somewhat defense of Andy Green or explanation of what he's doing is not to say that he won't be let go at the end of the season. If he is let go at the end of the season, it won't be because of wins and losses. It just can't be. We should all laugh or turn our backs and walk out if someone says it's about wins or losses. It just can't be. There are other factors that the Padres, it's well within their justification to be able to decide that they want to move on. But,
and there might be other strategical reasons why. I mean, there may be times during the year where there were moves that were made and you and I said, oh, I understand why that was done. Well, sure. AJ Preller and his staff might have said, I don't understand that at all. They shouldn't have done that. They should have done, he should have reacted this way or that way. And there's obviously so much more that goes into being a manager. But to judge a manager of a team like this over the past 4 years on wins and losses just seems ridiculous to me, because there's just so much more that goes into it. Now, tonight, are we done? Did we wrap it up after saying we were going to wrap it up three times?
Let's move on to this. Whatever you got is going to be better than this.
Oh, I don't know about that. But we're moving on. I mean, here's another team that's in a weird situation. The Giants were in this weird situation at the end of July, the last time we saw them, where, they weren't sure what to do at the deadline. They ended up like two games over 500, I think, right at the deadline. And they said, well, we're going to go for it and see what we can do. Well, of course, they're not going to make the playoffs now. They're 65-67. They're six games out. I think Baseball Reference gives them like a 0.8% chance of reaching the postseason at this point. So we've got this matchup now. They're what, four games ahead of the Padres going into this four-game series in San Francisco. The Padres played very well against the Giants earlier in the year. They won five of the first seven. Since then, they're 1-7. The only win, including 0-5 in San Francisco, the only win was Quantrill, who is not pitching this weekend, back in July, that was here. These two teams cannot hit. I was looking at the numbers. The Giants are 13th in runs scored. The Padres are 14th. That's in the National League. The Giants are 13th in batting average, 14th in on base, 14th in slugging. The Padres are right there with them in all those categories. So, whatever happens this weekend, I think, and the only thing we know for sure is that it will be the last time that Bruce Bochy manages the Giants against the Padres. Am I safe in saying that?
Yes. How about this? Do we know this, that it's the last time Madison Bumgarner will face the Padres as a Giant?
No, I don't think we know that.
Okay.
I would say it's likely. But it's not a certainty the way it is with Bochy.
With Bruce Bochy.
And it may not be the last time Bochy manages against the Padres, which is why I said it the way I did. But as a Giants manager, it will be. But the Padres are throwing Paddock tonight against Eric Rodriguez, who has struggled for the most part this year. Tomorrow is probably the best matchup with Denelson Lamet against Bumgarner. Saturday, Joey Lucchesi for the Padres against the rookie Logan Webb, who's made just two starts in the big leagues, 9 2/3, five earned runs, 9 strikeouts. And then another struggling starter Sunday for the Giants, Tyler Beede, goes against Eric Lauer. And I think, you know, I'm not sure what else to say about the series. I enjoy watching. I'm glad to see Yastrzemski. You know, it's kind of cool. It makes me feel old, but it's kind of cool to see that name in the big leagues. I'm amazed at the numbers Evan Longoria has this year. He's been amazing against the Padres, but his overall numbers aren't that bad as well. And a couple of the Giants, some of their younger guys seem to have good numbers. Solano, Slater. So, interested to see that, and always interested to see what we're going to get out of the Padres, because you just never know.
I am looking forward to it's reached this point in the season. I mean, I've always looked forward to Paddock starts, but it's reached this point in the season. Each one of these Padres starters has something to show. Chris Paddock used the term that he got his teeth kicked in. Other people in the organization said it was both on-field personnel and above. It was the first time that they noticed that the body language. He really didn't know what to do against the Red Sox. We know he's a prideful young Texan. That'll be interesting. Lamet tomorrow night. Just the continued, can he, keep it all together and put together a start that we know he's capable of, like he does from time to time. Lucchesi Lauer, in my opinion, probably battling for that number five starter spot on a contending team. So that's all interesting. And as far as I know, you said Derek Rodriguez is struggling. All I know is every time he faces the Padres, the guy's awesome. So,
yeah, well, I'm not sure how you could probably say that about a lot of a lot of pitchers, but he does have over a 5 ERA, so that was and gets to pitch some of his games in one of the great pitchers' parks in the in baseball. So, but anyway, you're in a great city. You go to a great ballpark the next four days,
yeah.
And then you have the fabulous trip to Phoenix.
I will probably have pneumonia after this trip. it'll be in the high 50s with probably wind whipping at the end of at least the next three games at night.
The night games.
And then I do this weather app, so I make sure I dress appropriately.
Sure.
I didn't even need to put Phoenix on there.
No, I
just no no.
I did put it on there the other day just because out of habit I do it for the Padre trips. And. And it was, I think I looked last night when I put it on there, it was like 10 o'clock at night. It was 100 degrees. Here you go. Monday 105, Tuesday 107, Wednesday 107.
And it's still, even though, look, they closed the Chase Field, still just is hot. It's amazing. But the contrast between these two trips
I don't think this is the first time you've done this trip either, where they've played San Francisco, Arizona on the same trip. So anyway, we will not talk on the podcast Monday due to the holiday, but we'll be back on Tuesday, and we'll address the five games that will have happened between podcasts. That's almost a hot lava record there, leaving that many games. So we'll see what happens over this long holiday weekend. We wish everyone a safe and enjoyable holiday weekend, and we'll talk to everyone next week.
Goodbye.